This week, we are continuing our series that we've started a few weeks back called What We Value. It's kind of take two. It's our second kind of time through this. In case you haven't been here, it's a series that has been taking us through the core values of our church. Now, you may hear me referencing them from time to time throughout my messages or at different times in church, but I think it's important that we really take time every couple years to really look at them, to know them, to understand them, right? Make sure, too, that if these are our core values, are we still living them out as a church, right? Because we can't say we value something if we don't, right? If we're not doing it. I can't say that I value reading the Bible if my Bible is always over here on the shelf and, you know, someone's like, oh, you value the Bible? And, oh, yeah, and they're like, and the dust that flies from your Bible, it's like, oh, okay, I see that you really value your Bible, right? And so we can't say we value things if we're not living them out and processing them even as a church. And so we have six core values. You can see them up here on the screen around here. You know, we value God's Word. We value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. And we value simplicity. And so that we say we value, and so the big question we have to ask ourselves is, do we really value these things? Now, I hope so. As our pastor and as we feel that these are our values, I hope that they are things that we value. And I know for us, when we make decisions here at the church, we do our best to weigh them against our values. How does this decision align with the values of our church? How are we doing when it comes to living out these values? Now, these are questions that I think we have to continually ask ourselves. And that's why we've been taking time to walk through these values as a church, so that we can all be on the same page. And if you see things, even here, and go, wait, Darren, you say you value this, but here's something I'm seeing. Challenge us on that, because we want to be a church that if we say that these are things we value, then we want to truly be walking them out, right? And so we started a few weeks ago with our first core value, which was God's Word, right? We talked about the importance just of reading His Word, of knowing His Word, of understanding His Word. Then the next week we talked about our core value of worship. And we talked about, again, worship is just, it's a lot more than singing, right? Our lives should be living sacrifices to the Lord. We worship by glorifying God in all that we do. And then that catchy part right there, and delight in doing it, right? Some of you remember that message? And then last week we talked about obedience, right? And God's desire for us to respond to His voice immediately, right? I shouldn't have to count, right? You remember that illustration last week? You know, in the Scripture, if we love Him, we'll what? We'll obey Him, right? We'll obey His commands. And we also talked about last week converting that obedience into worship, which is such a hard thing. But Lord, I don't. It's not just that I have to do this for God. It's I get to serve the God of this universe, and it becomes something that we delight in, that becomes worship to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, if you missed any of these messages, we have them online, and mainly because I think it's important that you understand the heart of who we are and who we're called to be as a church. And so if you've missed any of them, I just encourage you to go and to check out those values. This week, though, we're going to look at our fourth core value, which is simply that we value people. We value people. And so this morning, I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning while we're together to kind of answer a few questions for you, okay? A few questions that I think will help us understand what this value means to us as a church, but also to each of us as individuals who are following Jesus, right? And so the first question that I want to answer this morning is simply this, is why? Why? Why do we value people? Now, you know, if you ask me that, the quick easy answer for that question is because God commands us to. All right? Now, if you were to go onto our website, and if you were to look under the values section of our website, under the resources, or Who We Are, I think is what it's titled. And then if you want, look under the values section of our website, one of the scriptures that you'd find there under the value of valuing people is Matthew 22:39, okay? I'm going to just share it with you real quick. I don't have it on the board, but it's Matthew 22:39. It says basically, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second of the great commands, right? We know the great commands. You know, the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your mind, soul, and strength. Right? That's the number one command. And the second one is then love your neighbor as yourself. Now, your neighbor is what? Those people being all that are all around you, that you come in contact with. And so we're commanded to love people, right? Now, here's the thing. Think about this. It's impossible for us to love people if we don't value them, right? It's impossible for us to love people if we don't value them. Maybe that's why it's so hard for us to love people the way Jesus commanded us to, because there's many people that we have failed to give value to, right? We struggle with valuing certain people in our lives. What? Are you serious? That dude's a Beaver fan over there. What? And just kidding, because I like the Beavers. I'm not one of those. I know you Duck fans, you love to laugh when they lose and stuff. I like both teams and I root for both. But anyways, I digress quickly. Here's the thing. God doesn't say he thinks it would be a good idea for us to love people, does he? He goes, well, you know, it'd probably be a good idea to love. That's not what the scripture says. It's a command, right? And remember what we said last week, I just shared it this morning. If you love me, you will what? You will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey me. Loving people and valuing people are what we are actually commanded to do. That's why it's one of our core values. But let's take this why question a little bit farther. Why would God? Why is that important? Why would he command us to love and value people? And I think for us to fully understand this question, we have to go back to the beginning. And I mean the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read it to you. I have it to put up here on the screen, but this is what it says. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. They give us some insight into why God wants us to love and value people. It says this beginning in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him. God created us. He created everybody here. He created all people. And have you ever noticed how something you created has more value to you than other things? Right? When you build something, right, or create something, you take pride in it, right? It's like, I created that. It means so much more to you. Any of you? I know I do. I mean, I've had those times where I'm like, check this out. This is pretty good, isn't it? Right? You know, and I'm like, you're excited. You value it more because you've created it. It's something of your creation. And here's the thing. I don't think the Lord is any different. Now, the reality is we live in a fallen world and his creation has been tainted, right, by sin and darkness. We've seen sin and darkness taint his creation. But the awesome thing about our Creator is that he sees beyond the part of us that's been tainted by sin and darkness in the world, right? And he sees the part of us that's been created in his image. And that's the key. We are created in his image. Each of us, everybody in this room, everybody in this world has been created by him in his image, and regardless of how far we've fallen or how messed up we are, he still loves us and he values us and he wants us to do the same, right? People are important to Jesus and he wants them to be important to us as a church. He values them and he desires that we value him. That's the reason why it's one of our core values. Now, the second question I want to look at this morning is who? Who are the people that we're supposed to value? Again, the quick and easy answer is everybody, right? We're supposed to value everybody. We're commanded to love and value all people. And again, if you were to look at the values page on our website, the other scripture that you will find there is Mark 16:15, which simply says this: go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, right? It doesn't say just to the people we want to share the good news with, just to the cool people, right? To the pretty and lovely people. It doesn't say that. It says all people. It's funny because if you've been here throughout this series, you've heard me say that Stacy and I really struggled with these core values when we were trying to break them down. When we first started, we had 18, 20, I don't know, we had this whole list of core values, and we knew that we had to refine it down, because if you value everything, you really value nothing, right? And so we knew we had to bring it down. And the interesting thing is this value of people was really about three or four values that we brought into one, okay? Because when we first started, it was like, hey, what do we value? What do we value? We start, just naming things off, and it's like, we value youth, okay? Because here I was, a youth pastor that wanted to be a youth pastor for life, and God had called to be a senior pastor, and it was like, hey, I want to make sure that our church understands the importance of the youth, right? So we want to value youth. We love youth. We want to see and pour into them, right? And then we're like, well, what else? We value kids, right? Because we don't want Sunday school class downstairs to just be child care. No, we value them, that they're understanding, that they're hearing the Word, that they're growing in Him. And we're starting, well, who else? And it was like, well, we value the lost, right? We value those that are broken, that are struggling. We want this to be a safe place for people that are hurting to come. And so there were these many little things that we had had jotted down. But the more and more we looked at this, and as we're trying to kind of break them down, we realized that there's a common ground in some of these. All of these are people. All of them are people, right? Doesn't matter if you're young or old, a believer or a non-believer, or what. God loves you and He values you. It really goes back to the why question, right? He created all people, and He values all people. The problem is, we're really good at valuing people selectively. We are, right? Well, we value those that are close to us. We value those that treat us well. We value those that don't cause us any problems. You don't bother me, I'm good. You're all right with me, right? We value those that benefit us, right? If we can get something from them, oh yeah, I value them. They might help me out, right? But what about everyone else? What about people that get on our nerves, right? That drive us crazy? What about people that have hurt us? What about the unlovely? Sorry. I know I can get on people's nerves at times. I know you're thinking, what? No, not you, Darren. Not sweet you. I can get on people's nerves at times. Guess what? I know I've hurt people too. Maybe not on purpose, but I'm human. And I've made mistakes and I've failed. And I've hurt people. And I know that there have been many times in my life where I could be considered unlovely. And I'm just thankful that even though I get on people's nerves, even though I've hurt and failed people, even though I can be considered unlovely at times, God still values me. Last week, in the midst of some conversation with pastors, I ended up sharing some of my testimony. I just felt like it, and in that I thought, man, I need to put this into my message. And so some of you may know my testimony, some of you may not, and I'm not going to go real deep into it this morning. But basically, when I was in the Marine Corps, I fell pretty hard in my relationship with the Lord. I grew up a Christian, went in the Marine Corps, thought I was going to be this, you know, guy that saved all the Marines, right? But I fell hard. I compromised, and I made some poor decisions, and I went, boom, crashing down in my life and my relationship with the Lord. You know, and it was really about living a life that wasn't what I was called to live. And I knew that, right? I knew that. I was giving into the things of the world. And to make a long story short, what did I just say? To make a long story short, I was actually home on leave for 30 days, coming back from Okinawa, about to transfer to San Diego, home on leave for 30 days. And I was coming out of a place that I shouldn't have been in. As a matter of fact, when I came home on leave, I was like, okay, I'm going to get my life back together. I'm going to seek the Lord. And in the midst of that, I was kind of trying, but I started going to places that I shouldn't have gone, doing those things that I shouldn't do, the same things I was doing overseas. And one night, it was late, it was about midnight, I'm coming out of this place that I shouldn't have been coming out of, thinking I was cool because I was in the world and living that cool world life, right? And I'll be honest, I'm smoking a cigarette, I'm in my car, and I think I'm cool. It's like midnight, and I'm like, yeah, you know, coming out in my car, and my 1985 Toyota Camry, you know. I see this jogger coming by, and I think I'll be cool, and I'll just let him go by. And all of a sudden, as he gets closer, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know this guy. This guy is a youth leader who worked with Campus Life and worked in the office with my sister. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so I tried to do the old look like I'm looking for something in the back of the seat and turn my head waiting for the jogger to go by kind of thing, you know. And I'm sitting there going, oh, man, I hope he didn't see me. And I thought, oh, man, what if he tells my sister? Because my family didn't know the crash and burn that I had. I just kind of put up this front that everything was good and trying to live the life and trying to get myself back in order. But I was still struggling. And so I was just like, oh, man, he's going to tell my sister what's going to, you know, all these thoughts are going through my head. Well, I kind of forgot about it. A couple days went by, and all of a sudden, one morning, my mom's like, hey, Darren, you have a phone call. I'm like, oh, who is it? And she's like, it's Sean McCartan. And I'm like, oh, crud. Right, I don't think I said crud. I was a Marine at that time that had fallen. So anyways, you can imagine what I said. But so I go to the phone, and I'm just like, hello? And he's like, hey, Darren, I don't know if you remember seeing me the other night, and I just wanted to lie, man. I just want to say, what? No, what are you talking about? Other night, I've been gone out of town. I don't know who you're talking about. I wasn't at that place that you jogged by that night. Oops, you know, kind of, I don't know. But I mean, all these thoughts are going through my head. I wanted to lie to him, but I couldn't. I was like, yeah. And I knew I needed to turn my life around. And he just said, hey, man, do you got time? Maybe we could do breakfast or lunch or something. Sure. Yeah. I'm leaving here in a couple days, but if you got time, unless you're busy, you know. But he made time for me, and so we met the next morning. We had breakfast together, and in that time, I just shared with him, you know, my fall, the compromises I made. And in the midst of that, I had shared with him a little bit, because before I left the Marine Corps, I thought I was going to the Marine Corps to get money for college, to be a youth pastor and to go to Bible college. And at this moment, I felt like that chances of that were gone, and I just told him, I said, man, I don't know what to do. I've just ruined any chance of ministry. And he's like, what do you mean? You know, and I just shared my stories with him. And he said, man, we serve a God of redemption. We serve a God that can restore you and bring you back to who he's called you to be. And that breakfast changed my life. It really did. And when I left there, I left 2 days later to go back down, and immediately I got plugged into a church and got involved with the church, turned my life around, started working in ministry, and it was huge. But here's the thing about that story, and the reason I share it with you this morning. Here I am, this punk Marine, you know, high school graduate kid out there. And it would have been real easy for Sean to have just kind of jogged by and said, man, there goes another kid who's gone off the deep end. Would have been real easy, because I didn't know him very well. I just knew him from acquaintance, from my sister. He didn't know me very well. It would have been real easy for him to think those things, but he didn't. And even though I was in the midst of sin, even though he saw me coming out of a place that I shouldn't have been, here's the thing, he saw value in me, right? Enough so to make that difficult call. He saw beyond the tainted, sinful Darren, and he valued me enough to reach out and to show me God's love. And it changed my life. And you see, we're called to value people in that way, to value everyone, regardless of where they're at, regardless of whether they're living the life that they should, to reach out and to see beyond that and to see that inside of each person is someone that was created in God's image. Which leads me to the third and final question. How do we truly value people? Now, once again, my quick and easy answer is, do what Jesus did, right? Do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He got outside the walls of the temple. He got outside the walls of the temple. He set the example that he then challenged us to follow in the scripture I read earlier, Mark 16:15, that other scripture that's on the values page that says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Here's the thing, it doesn't say, wait in the church for people to come to you. Does it? It doesn't say that. It says, go, right? That's what Jesus did. He didn't just go to the temple. Oh, okay, I'm going to just go to the temple and I'm going to reach people here. Because a lot of times that's it. It's church. It's all about church. That's not what Jesus did, right? He went into the world. And the amazing thing about Jesus is that he met people, listen to this, where they were, not where he wanted them to be. Okay? Did you catch that? He met people where they were, not where he wanted them to be. The value wasn't in who they were at that moment. The value is him knowing who they could be, right? You see, we have trouble valuing people because we want them to be here, but they're still stuck back over here. And we don't want to value them until they get to this place. Till there are people that, well, I can hang out with them here, but they're still over here, right? We see people in the moment instead of seeing the potential of who they could be, of who God is desiring them to be, who God created them to be. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will see that he went out of his way to meet people where they were at. This is off my notes. At the district conference, I sat in a workshop talking about going out into the world. And it was really interesting because we were talking about, he used this word, these mosaics of areas out in our world. And he talked about things, and I was a little bit late to that class, so I missed, and I jumped in at the end, and I was kind of trying to piece what he was saying, but there was something that stood out to me, because he talked about how, you know, like, there are things out there, you know, these exercise classes, this and that, and he used Jazzercise for an example, you know, back in the 80s or whatever, and he said, we have this real good thing of Christians, of we go and we create our own Jazzercise. Come to our Christian Jazzercise class, right? We're real good at that. We create our Christian this and our Christian that instead of going and being Christ in a regular Jazzercise class and going being Christ in those things. And so we're real good at that, right? We're real good at trying to bring people to us instead of meeting them where they're at. Jesus met them in the middle of their brokenness. He valued them despite their sin and failure. And so this morning, I just want to share with you a few examples of what I'm talking about, looking at the life of Jesus. The first one, it's a great example, is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, right? Now, some of you are familiar with this story. I actually referenced it a few weeks ago when we were talking about worship. And I'm not going to read the whole story this morning, but if you want to look at it yourself, it's found in John chapter 4. And so later, if you want to read the whole story. But in these scriptures, in John chapter 4, Jesus is waiting for his disciples. They've gone into town and he's out there by himself, okay? He approaches this Samaritan woman at the well. and he asks her for a drink of water. Now, here's the thing we have to understand. Jesus is going out of his way here to this woman, okay? This woman is a Samaritan. She's a woman and she's a Samaritan. And in these times, Jews, they didn't associate with Samaritans. It actually tells us this in the scriptures where this encounter happens. I'm just going to read to you one of the scriptures, John 4:9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So it says it. It tells us that in the scriptures, which shows us Jesus went out of his way to reach out to the Samaritan woman. And the thing is, not only was she a Samaritan woman, she was a sinner. Oh, right? Oh, that was good, you guys. Man, we didn't even plan that. Her life was a mess, right? And Jesus knew it. It wasn't like, well, Jesus doesn't know. You know, it's like you see times in the Bible where the Pharisees are like, if he was really Jesus, he'd know who he was hanging out with. No, he knew. He knew. He told her. You know, she's talking and he's like, yeah, you're not with your husband because you've had like five husbands and the man that you're with right now isn't even your husband, right? And so she is a sinner. And if we're being honest, most people, especially in this time, would not have valued a woman like this, right? But Jesus saw beyond the tainted, sinful life that she had been caught up in, and he came and he met her where she was at. He saw the value that was hidden behind the years of failure and brokenness, because a lot of times that's the problem. There's value in there, but it's hidden behind the years of brokenness and failure. And because of this encounter, if you read the story, her life and her village, they were changed forever. Why? Because he was willing to go out of his way and meet her where she was at. This is the life of Jesus, time and time again, meeting people where they were at. I want to share one more story with you. How many of you have read about Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus. People say it different ways, right? Many of you know, we know that, you know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I don't know what it is. Lately, it's like I keep coming back to all these old childhood songs, right? We had the B-I-B-L-E, Father Abraham, I mean, all these things lately. But again, I revert to those things. I remember Zacchaeus from that song we used to sing. He was actually, if you did your Bible reading this week, as that was something we talked about a few weeks ago in reading our Bible, he was actually in the Bible reading in Luke 19. And so the story's found there, and it's such a short section of story, what is my problem this morning? Short section of Scripture that I actually want to read it to you this morning. It's a quick encounter that we read in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Let me just read this story to you. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Right? Oh, I love that. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have created or cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." I love this story because you can kind of almost imagine this story, right? Have you ever been in that place where there's a crowd, you know, and you're like trying to see beyond the crowd, especially a lot of times little kids, you know, they're like Daddy, pick me up, pick me up. You know, and Zacchaeus can be like, hey, pick me up, right? You know, and you just kind of picture Zacchaeus back there, kind of like trying to see over the crowd, what's the excitement? Who is this Jesus guy? What's going on, right? And so he can't figure it out. And so he goes and what? He climbs this tree just so that he can see over, right? And I love this picture of just him going out of his way just to try to see Jesus. And in the midst of the crowds and all that's going on, Jesus stops, right? He notices Zacchaeus and he goes to them, or goes to him. Now, I don't know, like, we don't know what this looked like, you know. Was he back off in a tree and the people were in between him? Was he able, was there a tree that came over the way and he climbed over and was like, hey, Jesus, you know? We don't really know what this kind of looked like. But I've always imagined Jesus seeing him and having to kind of make his way through the crowd to get to him. Now, I don't know if that was the case or not, but Jesus went out of his way for Zacchaeus, right? For Jesus to stop and then go to his house. And plus, it says he was passing through. He didn't have any intention to stop there. If you see the very first part of verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He wasn't planning on staying, but he went out of his way. He stopped and went out of his way to meet with Zacchaeus. And it's pretty obvious in these scriptures that Zacchaeus wasn't a very valued man, was he? It actually says in verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest of a sinner, right? Now notice there, it didn't say a few of the people said this. Some of the people said this, right? It said all the people said this. All the people were responding, right? Now, I'm pretty sure it was because he was a tax collector. Nobody in this time liked tax collectors, right? They were considered, you know, cheats who got rich by charging people extra taxes and then keeping them for themselves. And people knew this. And so they were the worst of the worst. But once again, even though no one else saw value in Zacchaeus, Jesus did. Jesus saw beyond that exterior. And just like the Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus' life was changed, right? Salvation came to him. And then he was like, I'm going to repay everybody. I'm going to give back what I took from them. His life was changed because Jesus saw the value in him. Now, I could go on and on with examples of Jesus, because all throughout the Gospels, there are stories of Jesus valuing people. And because he valued them so much, he went and he met them where they were at. And think about this. If you truly value something, won't you go out of the way for it? We do that all the time, right? I'll drive all the way down to Eugene on a Saturday, and I'll stay there late and get back here late because I like to go watch the Ducks. If I get an opportunity, if someone gives me a ticket, I will do it, right, because I value that. And there's all sorts of things in this world that we'll stay up late, we'll do this, we'll do that. Why? Because we value it. Well, Jesus is the same way, right? Jesus values people. And he went out of his way for people because he saw beyond their sin and failures. He saw their potential. And so what if we looked at people the same way, right? What if we didn't see the sin? What if we didn't see the failures? What if instead we saw people who were God's creations, created in his image? And what if, like Jesus, we went and met them where they were at, not where we want them to be, but we go to where they are to meet them where they're at? You see, this is what we're talking about when we say that as a church we value people. It means that we believe Jesus is for everyone, right? It means that we want to go outside of these walls. It's not just about here. Because you've heard me say before, they say, you know, statistics say that only 40% of the people out there will ever set foot inside a church. That means there's 60% of the people out there that will never experience Jesus if we don't go out there to them. It means we have to get outside the walls and meet people where they're at. And then as we meet them, as we love on them, and we don't preach the word to them and tell them they're going to hell, but as we just meet them where they're at and we love them and we invite them to come and hang out with us, that's what Jesus did. Whether it was come and hang out with them or can I go to your house? Can I hang out with you? As we invite them to come and hang out with us, as we allow them to come as they are, regardless of how broken they may be, that's how Jesus is going to change lives. Every person in our community is important to Jesus, which means every person in our community is important to us as a church. My heart is that we're a church that doesn't say we value people and then really don't. My heart as a church is that if we say we value people, then we're out there showing it. We're doing it. We're loving people. We're meeting people where they're at. That's what God has called us to do, to love and to care for people in every aspect, in every way. I don't have this on my notes, but interesting. This week, and it's funny, the two messages collided, and I didn't even realize it till just now. You know, last week I talked about obedience. You know, I shouldn't have to count. The Lord responding immediately. And it was this week, middle of the week, I'm driving out of a parking lot here in town, and I see this young mom with two kids pushing her stroller. I don't know how far they had walked coming to the grocery store. She looked a little frazzled, kind of worn down, with both kids kind of holding on to them. And she came around the corner as I was seeing her. I was kind of looking, and I just kind of smiled at her. She turned and made eye contact with me. I just kind of smiled at her, and at the time I was about to pull out, and I had both hands, so I just kind of nodded to her. And she looked at me, and kind of startled, she nodded back, kind of almost in a smile kind of showed on her face. And as I began to pull out, the Lord just said, "Darren, I want you to go and give her $20 that's in your wallet." Thinking, God, every time I get money in my wallet, you want me to give it away. My wife doesn't let me have money usually, and I'm like, wait, again, for that brief second, I started to be like, God, come on, is that really you? But then I heard last week's message, right away, last week's message, and it was like, I'm not going to let him count, I'm going to respond immediately. And I turned around, went through a parking lot, and I was worried, because here she's kind of walking across, and I'm trying to catch up to her and drive over, like she's thinking I'm coming after her, this stalker or something. But she pulled up and was starting walking on the sidewalk with the cover towards Safeway, and I was able to pull, and there was a parking spot up in front of her. So I was a little in front. By the time I got out, she was just walking right up to where I was. And I just walked up to her and I said, I don't know why. I didn't even say I'm a Christian. I didn't say anything. I said, I don't know why, but I just felt like I was supposed to give you this and have a great day. And there was something interesting in her demeanor that just changed. And she kind of looked and this smile, and she's like, "Hey boys, what do you say? Thank this nice gentleman, you know?" And I was like, "Oh, you're welcome, guys. You guys have a great day, you know," kind of thing. And I just walked off. And it wasn't even until this moment that I just realized the value that just doing that brought to that woman. And those are the kind of things that Jesus is calling us to be, people that we don't even realize. An encouraging word, reaching out and helping someone, being obedient to the Lord when He challenges you to do things that you don't think you want to do, how it shows value to people in ways that will change their lives. And we don't know. I have no idea if I'll ever see that girl again. But I know in that moment, there was something that her eyes brightened up in that moment. And that's what I'm talking about. We want to be a church that just, we're obedient to the Lord. And we just learn to value people, meet people where they're at. We don't know their story. We don't know why they're where they're at, or their brokenness, or what's going on. We got to see beyond that and see that they're God's creation, so He loves and He wants us to reach out to. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for, Lord, just this church and the values that You've given us, Lord. We want to be faithful to learn to live them and walk them out, Lord. We want to be people who value people, Lord, in the same way that You do. It's so easy, as I said, for us to selectively value people. Value those that are important to us, those that we know, those that treat us right. But Lord, that's not what you say. You want us to love and value all people, to learn how to see people, Lord, not with the eyes of the world, not where we see the sin and brokenness and the struggles and the challenges, but where we see beyond that and see that every person is your creation, that they were created in your image. And when you peel off the sin and the darkness, Lord, there is a beautiful person there that you love and want us to learn to love, Lord Jesus. And so teach us, Lord, how to be people who value others, Lord, who don't only value them when they're where we want them to be, but we meet them where they're at, and we value them for who they are regardless of what's going on in their lives, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to do this, Lord. This is such a challenging word, but Lord, it's what you command us to do, Lord, to go into all the world, to love our neighbors, to share with all creation, Lord Jesus, and to value all people. And so I just pray that this week, Lord, you challenge us in these things. Teach us and show us, Lord, who are those people in our lives that maybe we haven't given value to, or maybe we've devalued them, Lord, in our minds. Show us those people and teach us, Lord, how do we see beyond the hurt maybe that they've done in our lives? How do we see beyond this or that and realize that they are people that you created? And yes, they may be tainted by the world, and yes, they may be caught up in things that you don't desire them to be. But how do we still love them and value them, Lord? Teach us and show us how to do that, Lord. Challenge each of us as we go from here today, Lord. May you allow this word to penetrate our hearts, Lord, where each of us are at. Lord, we're all on a journey of following you. We're all in different places, Lord, and you speak different things to each of us depending upon where we're at. And so we just pray, Lord, wherever we're at, that you would allow those things to speak to us that you need to speak to us this morning, Lord. And when we walk out of this place, we wouldn't just say, oh, that was a good word, and not ever think about it, but that we, Lord, would begin to ask ourselves, how do we apply this to our lives? How do we begin to walk and live this out and be different because of what you've spoken into us today, Lord? We thank you. We praise you for your word. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning as you walk out of this place. Maybe you were on the opposite side of this spectrum today. Maybe you are someone that sat here and felt like, I have no value. And I want you to know the same thing that my little story, the guy that ran out or was jogging and that called me out, when I came back to Eugene, he had just planted a church and I became his youth pastor and served under him for 6 years. And it's a cool story, so I refer to him a lot of times as Pastor Sean. But Pastor Sean saw that value in me, and it made a difference in my life. He saw beyond those things, and maybe you today are sitting here going, man, I don't have any value, but Jesus is going out of his way. He's jogging at 12 o'clock at night. Who should be out jogging at that time anyways, right? But God brought him there for a purpose for my life. And the same thing is true, that God wants you to know he values you, and he'll do whatever he needs to do to show you that, to show you how important you are. It doesn't matter your failures, it doesn't matter your mistakes, because we serve a God of redemption. And as Pastor Sean told me, when I said my life was ruined as a youth pastor, said, nah, we serve a God of redemption. He can bring you out of the miry clay, and he can make you and mold you into who he's created you to be. And so if you're on that side of that this morning, I just encourage you, God sees you, he sees your value, and he wants to help you step out of those things in your life to become who he's called you to be. Amen? Receive that word. Let God speak it into your life. You are valuable, and God loves you.